Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast show number 137.
Welcome.
It's been 2 weeks since our last show with the summer.
Two weeks missing?
Well, because last Friday we were going to do it and then we just came down here and got pissed instead, didn't we?
That is true.
It was too hot a day, I think, to pubcast, whereas today's a bit more pleasant.
And no one joined Mike and I last show that we did, so yeah.
Well, everyone was on holiday.
It's that time of year, or it was a couple of weeks ago. Now, I think we're just gearing up to the start of the beautiful time that is football season.
It's nearly here. The friendlies are being played.
It's a week and 3 days to the start of the Football League.
You can get your fantasy football leagues done now. Yeah. The Mirror's started theirs. Premier League have done theirs.
It's glorious, isn't it?
Getting a bit more excited, yeah. And we've just gone 2-0 up in the Ashes as well, which is great. It's just good for sport. It's just good for sport. I'm happier when there's sport going on.
Wouldn't it have been fantastic if they brought the royal baby out and it looked like Ashley Cole?
Yeah.
That would have made my life. I do personally think they should have brought out a monkey in a nappy and kept it up for a year. I think that would have worked as well.
Did you see the clip of the guy on YouTube?
No.
Just said it's a black baby, like live on BBC News. just going down the line, and he just said it's a black baby. And the news report just went, oh, just moved on to the next person.
Oh,
we've digressed already, haven't we?
Well, yeah.
Completely digressed. Well, nothing's happening in football, is it really?
I know, it's just a little bit.
Well, I bet about 2 weeks ago when you did this show, you were probably talking about, oh, this might happen, that might happen, and nothing has actually happened.
I think about things that had happened.
Oh, I think it might take one big transfer for it all to sort of start snowballing and kicking off.
A bit of a knock-on effect, like what happened with the managers.
Yeah, but it's getting to that stage now where I was thinking, oh, it might be quite interesting this summer for the transfers. It's dragged it on so long, I'm now not looking at transfers. I'm now looking at the start of the football season itself and the Football League season particularly. So, Charity Shield, when's that happening?
The 11th.
Oh, that's the 11th. So that's
two
the
and
second,
a half weeks, yeah.
That's a bit later than usual, because usually that's the same weekend that the Football League kicks off.
Yeah.
So I think they brought the Football League forward because of the World Cup and what have you.
Yeah.
Because of all those World Cup stars that are going to be playing.
I know, yeah. Well, Gilles have had players there before.
That's true.
Trinidad, who
was that? Is Brent Sancho, Ian Cox, and Kelvin Jack. Although we signed Kelvin Jack after the World Cup, but he played there.
Yeah.
Brent's never had anyone.
No one at all.
Not in the World Cup.
Didn't they have someone in 66?
For Trinidad, no. This was 2006 World Cup. Trinidad had Chris Burchill.
Port Vale.
He was at Port Vale at the time, and he's now back at Port Vale, actually, having played at New York for...
He was at LA Galaxy.
New York Cosmos are over at the moment. They're playing Leighton Orient on tonight, and they're playing Gillingham on Friday night as well.
Get yourself down there.
Talking of World Cups, what's all this Sepp Blatter and 2020?
They've now basically said, he's now come out and said, oh, we can't
what a
really
fucking cock.
We can't really play it in the summer, can we? No. His actual words were, we can cool down the stadiums, but we can't cool down the whole country.
So what they've done is they've taken their bribes from the Qatari...
Allegedly.
And then they're going to move it afterwards.
Where are the World Cup? Obviously, we've got Brazil next year.
Then Russia.
Russia.
Then Qatar. But one of our listeners, Firas, he's out working on the stadiums in Qatar. And I'd be interested to know how they're developing and whether or not it is too late for it to be moved to another country. I don't think they would ever move it to another country now.
They wouldn't, because they'd just save face as much as they can.
Everyone will get executed, won't they?
The thing is, out there, they've got to have enough money to push stuff through. I mean, it's not going to be a case of the stadiums. Like Brazil, they were worried about the stadiums not being ready and stuff like that because of the economy. Out there, there's nothing that's going to get in the way. It's just the fact that it's a stupid place to have a World Cup.
Inhospitable, yeah.
Can we talk about a cock of the week? An absolute fucking cock of the week.
Dan's not here.
Well, we can talk about him if you want.
You haven't even said who is here.
I want to talk
Well, I was trying to, and then we just kind of jumped into talking about cricket and babies. So,
what a fucking cop.
Cissé's not here, yeah.
In the casino.
What a cop.
Oh, no, I think that's brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant, isn't it? So he says that he's a Muslim, so he's not going to wear a shirt with...
I think we can say that he is a Muslim. When you said he says he's a Muslim...
I don't think this is just a laugh to try and get a transfer.
Just ridiculous.
So explain what. So he said that he's not going to put on a trainee's kit. He's not going to wear. Is it Compare the Market?
Wonga.
So money lenders, basically. But then,
which is fair enough. When I read that, I was
casinos.
Like,
fair enough. If that's your belief.
But then you get photographed in a casino 2 weeks later in a late night casino.
Yeah.
So now I'm just thinking, all right, so if it wasn't his religious beliefs, why was he doing that? Was that like an agent?
He said he'd wear a charity.
The photo was taken in November. So it was a while ago. It was during a Europa League week, because I read a bit of the blurb from the guy who took the photo, and he said it was the Thursday they were playing in the Europa League. He wasn't travelling because Pardew was doing a bit of squad rotation and playing a weaker team. But yeah, apparently he was in there gambling.
But
his agents come out and said he wasn't gambling. He was just in there. Because he likes to look at dice.
He does look sitting at the table as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So I don't understand. Was it his agent in the first place said, "Oh, say this. This will give you a bit more publicity." Because he did paint him in quite a good light when he first said it. Because I thought that's fair enough. Taking a stand against those sort of companies.
On one side, though, as well, it could just be that his religious views have strengthened.
Has he made a statement?
The cynic in me says that's complete bullshit.
But okay, I think that as well. I think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But then why would you make such a fuss about it? Was it because it could get him on side with the fans a little bit more? I don't think it needs that, to be honest.
I think it's more likely that he wants to transfer.
But I agree.
The fans kicked out, didn't they?
Is it Anzi or St Petersburg or someone that's coming for
him?
And he reckons he could earn a shitload more money.
Of course, yeah.
Gamble it away.
Yeah.
Another mercenary.
It's a bit of a gamble going to Russia, though, isn't it? Russian league.
Same.
Would he stay in the national national front? National front?
I don't think they'd take Papi's.
Casting all kinds of aspersions on Cissé's character now.
If Cissé's agent's listening, we'd love you to call in. You can't call in. But
I meant the national fold in terms of would he be looking in at getting a start. Has he played for them? He has been in the squads, hasn't he?
Senegal.
Oh, yeah, he's star striker.
Pretty good up front, isn't it?
Does Bar play for Senegal as well?
He does.
Didn't know that. I didn't know where they were both playing for Newcastle.
I think that was part of the reason they signed him, even though they could never play together. You can have the empty glass, yeah. Thank you.
Very polite, actually. Very polite, yeah. She should have asked if she could interrupt us.
Not very attractive, though. And grubby ears. I don't know if anyone else noticed that.
I noticed they were a bit hairy.
Just quickly, while we're not talking about football, you know when you buy a new suit?
Yeah.
And the pockets are always sewn up?
Yeah.
Do you unseam those, or do you just leave them?
Well, I've never had it on trousers. I've had it on a blazer.
I've never had it on trousers.
It's just the blazer pockets.
Yeah, no, I just leave them done up. I've never put anything in there.
Be careful, though, because you might find that they're not actually pockets. Yeah. If you try and cut through, you'll ruin...
They are pockets.
Depends how cheap the suit is.
No, it's an expensive suit.
And it can ruin the lining of your suit if you've got stuff in your pockets.
But, I mean, is it one of those things where, like, if you keep them done up, then people are like, oh, you're...
No one would notice.
Well, no, someone might notice if they try and put something in their pocket, won't they?
Well, I don't know what sort of occasion you're wearing a suit for.
Like, say I'm next to Papi Cissé in a casino, I'll give him a little tip and he tries to put Carl of his chips in my pocket. Oh, no, I'll keep that. So the consensus is leave them stitched up.
Leave them stitched up.
Can I just ask, I know I'm not really part of the podcast anymore, but...
Yeah, of course you've joined in today.
Could they tweet in to the podcast or to myself?
Let us know your opinions on that. Tweet at Jim Staples or tweet at Football Podcast.
And if you don't like the fact that we've talked about gambling, tweet to at Simon Head, because all complaints obviously go to Simon Head. But just wanted to get that off my chest.
Actually, complaints have been going to you recently.
Have they?
Yeah.
Not always. They've been to Stuart Hoare as well.
I've not picked up on them.
Well, everyone wants to be into it right then.
Yeah. Must be. Can we talk about football again?
Yeah.
The friendlies that have been going on so far, has anyone been to one?
I've not been to any. I did watch at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning United versus the A-League All-Stars.
Now, is that the game? So the reason I brought this up is that I've never heard of a friendly match generating crowd capacities of over 80,000 people.
Well,
where was it?
It was 83,000.
Which, to be fair, they've taken their follow from the MLS, who every year have an all-star game against a big European side.
Yeah, but I mean, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, but 83,000. It's great that football's growing in these countries.
I'd be interested to know how much they're charging as well.
Well, today, Liverpool playing in Melbourne today, I think that must have just finished.
It's going to be equally...
There was 93,000.
That's brilliant.
And that's in Melbourne.
That is fantastic. I'd also like to say...
Was that against the A-Stars as well?
No, that was against Melbourne Victory.
Okay.
So the reason I brought this up is that at the weekend, Celtic were down in South West London playing Brentford.
Yes, saw that. It was ridiculous, wasn't it? Free side to the ground.
Yeah, and this is the thing, so...
Did you see they celebrated the goals, though? I'm quite
a big fan of friendlies when you can get that many people into a stadium.
Yeah. Celtic fans were celebrating the goals.
The thing I really would recommend, don't invite Celtic to your ground for a friendly.
Did they completely trash the pitch?
They are scumbags.
Oh, no, hang on.
No, scumbags.
They're not all scumbags.
No. I'm sorry.
no,
I'm usually after a bit of controversy, and I'd laugh at Colin. You cannot say that. No, no.
Well, yeah.
I've seen the footage. I saw how many people came on.
No, I'm not talking about what happened in the ground.
Okay.
I was driving in and around the area all day, doing bits and pieces, like you have to do on a weekend, and fair enough.
Well, you shouldn't have been wearing a Rangers shirt, though, should you?
Celtic brought a lot of people down, fair play to them, but from about 8:30 in the morning, anywhere near Brentford, so areas like Chiswick, which are quite nice family areas, were just completely overrun with some pretty badly behaved Celtic fans.
I was in North
it
London
was pretty
when,
bad.
When do you remember when Scotland played Brazil in the Emirates a couple of years ago? That was it was phenomenal.
Well,
11 o'clock in the morning, there was just people paralytic.
8:30 in the morning, people were getting off coaches at 8:30 in the morning. Reports of people just absolutely paralytic from then on.
Brilliant.
There's also the reports though. Do you remember the
don't go
the,
to Gillingham?
The infamous UEFA Cup final in 2008 when Rangers fans destroyed the city of Manchester and absolutely run riot when they lost to Zenit St. Petersburg.
I don't know.
I think it's just a day out. Do you not remember that?
No. It's a great day at Look. I mean, we sort of bring it on ourselves. We've got a ground with four pubs, you know, on the corner of the stadium, on each corner of the stadium. So, you know, we're sort of bringing on the drinking culture. But I mean,
how did that friendly get arranged? Do you know what the background was? Was there a transfer, or did someone know someone at the club?
Yeah,
or?
we had Niall McGinn on loan last season.
Yeah,
sorry, season before last, even. And that's how the clubs got talking to each other.
Yeah. But no, it was good. It was good. But three sides of the ground, fair enough.
8,000 people in a friendly at Griffin Park, that's more than we averaged all the last season. So
it's going to bring him in a lot of money as well.
It brought in good money. It was good for us to play against a decent team.
Well, they're League Two standard, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, they got to the second round of the Champions League.
Well, we beat Millwall the week before, which is a good result for us.
But I've never seen. I saw the highlights of that game. Only on Sky Sports News.
They're trying to bring the goals down at the end.
Oh yeah, at the end. And but I've never seen fans celebrate a friendly goal like they did. They
that
proper
explains
celebrated.
What was going on. Mate, they were so pissed. They thought it was the Champions League final.
Yeah, they probably thought it was Europe.
They were so
finally beaten Rangers.
But you know, I think if friendlies are sort of
the most Irish Scottish person. I've ever.
Yeah, but they're all Irish Celtic fans, aren't they?
So I like friendlies if they're good for the clubs involved. And obviously, you know, talking about 90,000 people turning up to a friendly in Sydney, you know, that's good enough reason for these big tours of, you know, Japan,
Australia, Thailand. You've never seen someone celebrate like that in a friendly before. Did you see how Shinji Kagawa got reacted to yesterday when United played Yokohama?
I've heard about it.
He was treated
they
like
mad,
some sort of demigod.
Yeah.
But apparently, in the first half,
she was
bearing in mind he was sat on the bench.
Basic Instinct, wasn't she? Demigod?
No, she was
Ghost.
In striptease. he got the cameras switched to Shinji Kagawa on the bench 42 times in the first half.
Did they miss the goal? Because didn't they score after about 8 seconds?
They scored after 30 seconds, yeah.
Always quick.
Rio Miyachi had a similar welcome when in the game that they played in Japan, Arsenal.
Yeah.
If they did a Premier League All-Stars team and the likes of Real Madrid or Barcelona came over, that would sell out Wembley.
Premier League All-Stars
team versus a sort of A-list
if you think
European.
The team that got into the PFA team of the year
put them in
put together and played against a big club
and do it for charity, like the Charity Shield, get some money for
in fact,
a nominate
replace the Charity Shield with it,
or even better, the PFA, the winner of the PFA award, which was Bale this year, was it? He gets to nominate the charity that the takings go to.
Lovely.
Why not?
Yeah. And it would sell out. Do the tickets cheap, like 15, 20 quid out of it.
Do it in
the school holidays, which it now would be at the moment.
Yeah. See, I think that, I always previously quite liked the idea of a North versus South game instead of the Charity Shield. So you'd have players from United, Liverpool, Everton, City versus Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea,
I like that,
etc. But no, I think
something else I'd like to see. Say we're talking about the Premier League PFA team. Get the League Two team of the year, the League One, the Championship, and the Premier League.
Have a mini tournament.
Yeah. I bet you get the League Two like kicking.
They'd
shit.
Beat
kicking
someone, wouldn't they?
Kicking the shit out of Luis Suarez and whoever else is in that Premier League team. It would be hilarious.
But
there'd be some upsets.
Can you imagine David Luiz defending against Akinfenwe?
Yeah, I can. That's the thing. I actually can. Yeah. Yeah, so since our last in the show, Gillingham have re-signed the man that is known as the Beast.
Yeah.
Who's that? Akin Fenwa. He's got bigger as well since...
Yeah, but no one wants to play him, do they? No one wants to defend against him.
Tonight, he scored 17 goals last season in a team that didn't get promoted, which is no mean feat in League 2. And, he's just absolutely brilliant. But he's got a good partnership with another fella we've signed up front. They did really well together a couple of seasons ago, so that's obviously what they've done it for. But I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And I just think, I follow him on Twitter and what have you, I just think he's a really nice, sort of genuine guy. You listen to him interviewed, and he's quite big into his religion and what have you, and, yeah, no, he's just a...
He likes eating townspeople that are sent up as sacrifices.
Exactly, yeah, no. But he's just quite a... A breath fresh air in modern day football, I think, just for the way he approaches everything. And I think football's better for him, and I'm bloody glad he's back at our club.
He's really
as well.
Bounced back from the time he tried to destroy downtown Tokyo, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was bad.
Fighting against Rodon, but fair play to him. Now, Fabregas, Rooney, Suarez, which transfer saga are you most bored by?
I'm not bored by Rooney yet, I'm bored by Suarez. He's going to go to Madrid.
Yeah, Arsenal.
Fabregas.
Did you see what Henry tweeted this morning?
I can't see Fabregas leaving Barcelona. I think this.
Well,
is, I can't it, see it.
It, it depends what the new guy. Well, if he sits down with the new boss, which they named today, have they?
Yesterday,
Argentinian, isn't
Martino.
If he sits down with him and says, "Look, am I going to play?" And if he says no, then he's got to go somewhere.
It seems to have swung backwards and forwards. It seems to go.
How's he not?
They're definitely not going to sell him. So he's definitely going to.
The thing is that all of these rumours about Fabregas, if the player didn't want to move, it's very easy for him to come out and his agent to release a statement.
Yeah, but he said that, isn't he? He said he don't want to move.
He hasn't.
Was in the papers last week.
No, Fabregas never came out and said it. The club said they're not going to sell him. They've said, we've spoke to him and he said he loves Barcelona.
Yeah, I've not read
Fabregas hasn't said anything.
Well, if Barcelona have released that statement...
But then why would United keep going back and bidding if there wasn't some that there would be interest? It's likewise with Rooney. Rooney's never come out and said he wants to leave. I know that the press have said he's angry and confused, but he's angry and confused when he's trying to open a jar of pickles.
Yeah. One transfer I'm quite interested in. So Carl Henry to QPR. Have you seen? So now you've got two best mates who could be playing in midfield together next season.
Who's that? Henry and
our favourite Twitter.
He's back there, isn't he?
Yeah.
I thought
I'd be able to facilitate a move.
Apparently it's fallen through the Marseille move for Barton because he would.
Barton's was, back with QPR training.
He was asked to cut his wages in half and he didn't want to.
Oh, wait.
And yet he goes on about how much he loves the French lifestyle and how he loves playing football at a high level.
I'd love to hear him do a sort of McLaren-esque French interview. That would be quite fun.
Well, McLaren's now the assistant manager at QPR, isn't he? Can you imagine the accent?
Really? Yeah, that's a strange one.
He's doing it, I think, while he's out of a job to keep in the game.
I don't mind Jay Barton, to be honest. I don't think the Championship's the league for him because he'll just get absolutely... man marked out of the game and they'll frustrate him.
I think he'll look really good.
But yeah,
I think he's a good player.
He's a good footballer.
So QPR, they're going after Hooper at the moment as well, aren't they? But I mean, they're still on the wage bill. They've still got Turat, they've still got the keeper Caesar.
Caesar's gone on loan, hasn't he?
No, not yet. He was linked with Napoli, but they've now signed Rayner on loan.
They've still got a phenomenal amount of wages backed up on that thing, and all summer
Genius isn't going to be there cheap.
All summer you've been expecting them to sort of start off loading players, so it'd be very interesting to see what they do because they can't afford that in the chat. I know you get your parachute payments or whatever, and they're not the type of players that I want in my squad trying to get out that league.
No, they're not.
Joey Barton, I would, but a lot of the others.
They're
talking about bringing Scott Parker in as well. He's not going to be cheap.
No, but I mean,
it's going to cost a lot of money.
But he would be.
You want him playing for you?
Yeah, exactly.
He's being linked with West Ham now, though.
Yeah, going back to West Ham, which would be a better move for him, I think. But he's the sort of player that you would
sign him for Allardyce.
If I was a QPR fan, the best thing I want to do is like get rid of some of these players,
get some half decent money for him,
and then. I don't even think Redknapp's the right man to be buying the right players.
I don't think he's the right man to get them out of the Championship. He'd be the right man if they were in a better position last season to keep them up.
Redknapp's stock could really, really become fuck all by
But all that Redknapp's going to do is he'll leave in November if it isn't going particularly well, and then he'll get another job at a club who are desperate and have a bit
for
of money.
For me, the blueprint of getting out the Championship was Wigan Athletic, where they just signed a load of sort of not cloggers, but they signed some sort of players with limited sort of Premier League. Yeah. They weren't Premier League players.
It was people like Jason Roberts and Nathan Ellington.
Well, this is it. They were Championship players, and then they signed Roberts and Ellington, and they were just a formidable partnership. Yeah. So they just signed players that would do a good job defensively and give those two the ball, and that's what got them promoted.
Yeah.
If you've got someone coming into a Championship club and saying, right, we've got all these players, all we need is, you could just go and get by two prolific goal scorers, people you know are going to
get the goals.
Jordan Rhodes would be one. I know he's at Blackburn, that's probably why Blackburn have done it, but I don't think Blackburn have got the team behind him. But you look at someone like Jordan Rhodes, just players that you know will score goals in that.
Well, there's a lot of clubs being linked with Charlie Austin at the moment because of his record last season. I know there's a few questions about his fitness, but
I mean, Hooper will be a good signing. Yeah. He's going to guarantee you goals in the Championship.
Yeah. This is what we did in League One. We've snapped up Will Griggs, so now with Will Griggs and Donaldson.
Walsall was he at?
So we snapped up two of the top five scorers in League One from last season. So we've got an awful lot of goals in us. And we've got rid of Forrester, but we've brought some consistency in.
I don't think that argument necessarily stands up in League One.
Oh, I think it does.
In Championship, I think it does because the style of play is a little bit different. So players like that are always going to get chances and they're always going to get a sniff. League One, I'm not sure it's got the same principle to it. But League One's an interesting league next season because
I think it's a harder league to get out of this season than it was last season.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
It's very, very difficult. You've got two massive clubs in Wolves and Sheffield United. I know Sheffield United have been in the league for quite a few seasons now. Wolves coming down there. No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's three, isn't it?
It's their second.
Okay.
Well, Preston will be looking to get back up there as well.
Yeah, but someone like MK Dons have got money behind them. They're not going to be an easy team. Crawley have got money behind them. They could be a bit of a surprise. Yeah. And look at who we lost to in the final of the playoffs last season.
Yeah, Yeovil.
No one thought Yeovil was going to do
it. I think if you'd asked someone at the start of the season, if you thought Yeovil.
Nobody expects that Yeovil in position.
Anyway, but Yeovil, fair play to them. They played probably the best football I saw from anyone in that league last year.
You look at League One, and you're looking at sort of 15, 16 teams that if they're not around the playoffs or promotion, they'll be very disappointed. The same in the Championship.
Yeah.
Pretty much every team in the Championship now has either played in the Premier League or has been really close to challenging.
I think there's something like six teams in the Championship
that haven't. Yeah, and even they're the likes of like Millwall and
who have obviously been in the top flight in the last 25 years.
Bang on, exactly the point I was going to make. Yeah. So I mean, if Millwall made the playoffs, they've been just outside the playoffs quite often.
All we need is for Millwall to get in the Premiership, and then think of some of those games. You've got Swansea and Millwall, Cardiff and Millwall in the Premiership.
West Ham and Millwall. Chelsea and Millwall.
Millwall
and Millwall.
It's going to be amazing. I mean, there'll be a lot of
Sunday morning games for Millwall in the Premier League. Yeah. They really would be. But I mean, if they get there, they get there on merit and what have you. It's an interesting season for them because Jackett's been there for so long. From what I've read a couple of books of press people that have been sort of behind the scenes and what have you, and Jackett came across really well on both of them, but he really sort of moulded that club. It was really sort of like his club from the bottle up sort of thing, and he was really a linchpin for what they did. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they get on with Lomas, which was a strange appointment in the summer because when I think of Steve Lomas, I think of West Ham, and I think Millwall fans think he's
going to be fair. When I think of Steve Lomas, I think of him keeping the ball in the corner when Man City needed a win to survive in the Premier League, and they were playing for a draw.
Yeah.
Good old Alan Paul.
He was a decent sort of grafter in midfield, like a decent player, but he's going to have a decent start for the Millwall fans to give him the time of day sort of thing. But it's an interesting one. And Jackett at Wolves as well in League One. Another one, like you're saying, Cole Henry, he's basically said that there's certain players which aren't going to get in his team. And it's a dangerous precedent to set because they're some of his biggest earners and they're some of his best players. So as a manager, would you not say
Cole Henry's always sort of been split decision whoever runs Wolves though, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, if I'm in League One and I need some battlers and I need to get out of that league, I wouldn't put Cole Henry to one side and say, right, you train with this lot.
I think he's all right.
Because by doing that, you're diminishing his transfer value. The likes of QPR know that you want him off your wages,
yeah.
So you're not going to get the same sort of fee as him. But I mean, they've got some great players. They've got Griffiths, who was on on loan.
Lee Griffiths, who was at Hibernian, yeah.
Yeah, he was their player of the season.
I think he was close to winning the player of the season in Scotland.
He signed for Wolves 2-3 years ago when they were in the Premier League, or 2 years ago.
He's still on their books, though.
Yeah, he was on loan. He went to Hibs on loan, didn't do great, and then last season he spent on loan at Hibs. He scored 20-odd goals.
He actually got in trouble recently for throwing a slushy at a 13-year-old at a theme park.
I like him even more.
Apparently he was getting a load of sticks when he threw this slushy at this kid.
That's a waste, though, isn't it? That's a waste of a slushy, if you ask me.
Yeah,
so what else have we got? The women's European Championships, has anyone seen that?
I said that
and I just went,
we've spoke about that before, but yeah, it's another England failure. What we
do we think Gareth Bale's going to leave Tottenham? There's one. I'm glad we're talking about this without Dan Silver.
If they're talking 85 million,
of course,
I'd drive him there myself. If I was Levy, I'd drive him there myself, and I'll give him a slow hand job the whole way as well.
Well, they're talking about more, though, aren't they?
He's 85 million is absolutely ridiculous. For a player that could have gone to Nottingham Forest for 1.5 million.
For a player who won't even get into their team.
And don't get me wrong, he's
a class act.
He's
a class act.
Does any part of you just think, actually, would you be completely surprised if Bale had a really bad season for Spurs? I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't. Like, but I think that's because
I've got him in my dream team, though, I have to say.
I think that's because he's Welsh. Like, I wouldn't be saying that about anyone else. Like, I wouldn't be saying, oh, Suarez is really shit, blah, blah, blah. Because he has done it consistently now for 2 years.
Yeah. I'll tell you what sums up Gareth Bale is what he did on the last game of the season when literally.
To no avail, but.
Last 5 minutes, he just picked the ball up on the right,
just
came
bang.
Inside. And fucking
they played West Ham.
But he did that a lot. He must have done that on nearly 10 occasions.
Yeah, they played West Ham at Upton Park.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got the ball in the field. He fell over, and someone passed him the ball, even though he was on the floor. He got up, and he just thought, everyone else. I'm just going to hit this. He's probably going to go.
Oh, he's got that bit of magic that Ronaldo does that you can just pluck some out of.
He does score a lot of goals. I'm not sure about what he does for the team. And
he's quite hard working.
I'm not saying he's not hard working, but
they're talking about him having a more central role this season. I'm not a Spurs fan by any stretch of the imagination. To be honest, I'm completely. When Dan's not here, I pretend I don't like Spurs. But in terms of the Premier League, I'm pretty much completely neutral. I haven't got any affiliation. QPR, the only club that I sort of look out for, and they're not in it anymore. So, I really hope he stays in the Premier League. I really, really do.
That's because United.
And the same with Suarez. What about yourself? Right, as a Man United fan, Suarez has got his critics because he comes across as a scumbag.
I
think more from the other side. I like to talk about how much I hate Liverpool, but I've got a lot of friends who are Liverpool fans, and I think it'd be a massive
shame.
That's
why you love to talk about how much you hate them.
Well, yes, but as a friend of theirs, I think it'd be a massive shame if after all that Suarez has said about how much he loves the club and he wants to leave England because of the press, that he pitched up in fucking London. I think that'd be pathetic. I'd rather see him stay at Liverpool.
Yeah, but he said that he's tired of the press. Yeah.
Because I think that would just make him look a complete idiot.
Well, I think he'll end up in Madrid, won't he? I mean, it looks like Higuain's going to end up going to Napoli.
I do think it'd be a shame in a way if he leaves.
Madrid are going to have half of his fee, aren't they? And as soon as Madrid make a fucking bid for Suarez, he's going to end up in Spain, isn't he?
Do Arsenal get any percentage of that potential Fabregas transfer as well?
There was talk that they'd get 50, but apparently not. Apparently they don't.
Oh, really?
Because I don't think the expectation was that he would move on.
No, it was if they won the Champions League whilst he
was
there.
Yeah, I think they're still add-ons. So maybe there's a small amount, but I don't think they get anything significant. They wouldn't get 10 million.
Interestingly, I was listening to Clive Allen on TalkSport last night. They spent...
I like a bit of Clive Allen, actually.
Yeah, he's all right. I didn't like the co-presenter, but I was listening along because they were talking about the Bale thing for about half an hour. Then they went on to the Rooney, and it was actually quite objective and quite good because Clive Allen was giving his insight from when he was at Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
He was saying, basically... talking about getting Levy's mind, like I said, 85 million. If you're Levy, you want to take that as for the good of the club. You're going to take that. Basically, Modric really wanted to go to Chelsea. He'd set his heart on Chelsea. He came and saw the manager at the time, which was obviously Redknapp. Said, "I want to leave. I want to go to Chelsea." Told Levy he wanted to go to Chelsea, and Levy just played complete hardball. And he basically said to his advisors, "Even if Chelsea offer double,
not sell him.
I'm not selling him to a Premier League rival. It's not happening. And obviously, he wanted out. That annoyed him even more.
But Madrid, that's why Levy's good for Spurs.
Exactly. Madrid came in and he basically said, look, they're a rival. I'm not strengthening a rival. It doesn't matter how much they're going to pay me. I'm not strengthening a rival. Which I think is just absolutely fantastic. From a Spurs point of view, Modric obviously wanted to leave. He wanted to go to a club to do whatever he wanted to do, to better himself or whatever. Looking back on it, I think Modric should have stayed at Spurs as well.
Completely.
They'd have kicked on. But well, they got a decent amount of money for him and he didn't go to Chelsea. It's just that I just think that's pretty
fair enough,
from that point of view. So Bale's not going to go to Man United.
No, I think it's very unlikely. The only way it is if they are that. We offer that much, and I don't think we will.
Okay, I know you need to go on something else as well, but if I could put you two into the mindset of Bale, if you're Gareth Bale, would you want to move at the moment?
Yeah, I'd go to Madrid if I was Bale.
And on what basis? Take money aside.
Madrid only. Right, so if you're a young lad from fucking Wales, right?
And how old is he? 24?
If at one stage you were going to be sold to Nottingham Forest when you're in the Premiership, right? When Madrid come knocking on the door, you fucking want to go there. In my opinion, look, his stock is as good as it's ever going to get. If you're going to have a chance to play for Real Madrid, you go and play for him, because fucking hell. I mean, if you were in his position, you'd say yes to that, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And Clive Allen also last night was talking about Glenn Hoddle. Glenn Hoddle had the chance to go to, when he was about Bale's age now, when he was 24, 25, he had the chance to go abroad to play for a Bundesliga team.
Yeah.
And he got so close that he was on the flight to go out there, and then he changed his mind at the time. Obviously, after that, he went over to play in France and was absolutely amazing over there. But he's since said to Clive Allen that the biggest regret of his career is that he didn't go over to Germany when he was that young and didn't sample that culture early, because he said it would have made me a better player for going to different places. So if I was a fan of Wales, I'd want him to go to Real Madrid. If I was a Welsh national fan and had no interest in Spurs, I'd be clucking for him to go there, as long as he gets games.
I tell you what, if he goes to Madrid, it'll be a big success as well.
For me, with Gareth Bale, he's not going to win the Champions League with Spurs, and that's no disrespect to Spurs. They could maybe push on for the Premier League. I think it's unlikely with how competitive the league is.
You say that, I could see Porto won the Champions League. Spurs are a stronger team than Porto. Well,
it depends how seriously Villas Boas takes the UEFA Cup into consideration
Spurs need to be in the Champions League. They need to be sitting here this time next year, getting ready
Porto
for the Champions League.
Porto won it in a very peculiar season as well. They got...
There are
teams that got to the final. Yeah, you'd say Borussia Dortmund last season, but it's highly unlikely that Tottenham, because they've got to get back into the Champions League, and if they don't make it this season, that's 2 years on the bounce. They're not going in there. Three seasons on the bounce, so they wouldn't have been in there.
But it's better for Spurs.
It's better for Spurs, but Gareth Bale, he's not really going to care. I know he'll love the club, but he's not going to care. He could go, and there's much more chance of him going to Man United.
Regardless of the money as well. Let's just to finish on this, Spurs need a bloody striker. They've only got Defoe and Adebayor turned up for about two games last season.
Well, they're after Soldado, aren't they?
Yeah, but they need to pay the £26 million. If I was a Spurs fan, I'd be like...
How exciting is Soldado?
He'll score goals.
He scored a lot in Spain.
He's 28.
He was the highest scoring Spanish player in La Liga last year. Okay, I get that. But... would you be excited by him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
28, in peak of his career, £26 million for a 28-year-old is quite a lot of money.
To be honest, with the amount of strikers Spurs have had the last couple of seasons, I'd be excited with Akinfenwa if I was a Spurs fan. They need strikers.
They're not having Akinfenwa, he's mine. Don't worry about that.
Well, they'd have to try and wrestle him there, and I can't see them needing
good luck with that.
And then Benteke's not going there, is he?
No. I like the fact that he's re-signed for Villa.
Yeah,
definitely.
Fair enough. Lads.
I think Lambert might have a pretty decent season with Villa now he's held on to Benteke, actually.
Yeah. Well, we shall see.
By the look on both your faces, it looks like we're done, isn't it?
Well, no, because I wanted to go on to some sad news from the week. Well, two bits of sad news, which are two deaths in the footballing fraternity, one of which is Laurie Riley, who not many people in England or abroad will know, but he was
not many people know.
He was part of Hibernian's Famous Five, which was back in the day when he used to play different systems with five front men. They were something of legends in Scottish football. Hibs won the league three times in the late 40s, early 50s because of them. And he's got a better international strike rate than both Kenny Dalglish and Dennis Law for Scotland. A real legend. Passed away, I think he was 80. I think he was 84.
Good innings.
He was still going to watch Hibs every week last season.
Oh, that's good.
Fair enough. So
he's a club man.
God rest his soul. And also Bert Trautmann.
Yeah, that the, was...
possibly the most famous goalkeeper in FA Cup history.
If you ever want to read a decent football book, his book is absolutely amazing. And to be honest, it's not even football. My missus has read it. It's half football and half sort of war stories.
Yeah, because he fought in the Luftwaffe, wasn't
he? He was in the Hitler Youth.
Yeah,
and then obviously came over to England whilst the war was...
He actually got bombed. He survived death, and he was hiding from both the German and English troops because he didn't want to go back to fight for the Nazis. And he ended up getting brought over. He actually was interned in Northwich for a while before moving to Manchester.
Yeah, no, is that who he was playing for?
He wasn't playing, he was at the Prisoner of War camp at Marbury Park.
He was playing for a village team, a non-league team for a long, long time.
And Man City signed him, and there was uproar because all the fans didn't want him, this German who they'd been fighting against in recent years. And he obviously won them over, famously broke his neck, but played on and won man of the match in the FA Cup final. I mean, a real legend. Bobby Charlton said he's the best goalkeeper he ever played against. I don't think you can get much higher praise than that.
No.
A decent innings as well. He was
89. Yeah. But,
Real legacy. One of those names that will always... every year the FA Cup...
Yeah. Well, I've got one last happy note.
Will you have a happy note?
No, I'd say like yours, because we want to end it. I know you talk, Andy. No, this is what we're ending on, Andy, so...
No, you end on that. Yeah. Well,
I thought you were going to say your happy note.
Should everyone just calm down?
It's not a happy note.
All right.
I hope it ends in a happy note.
Okay.
Can we wish Tito Villanova well on his battle against cancer?
Definitely.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to say.
There we go. See, that's nice. But even happier news, it was Jim Staple's birthday last month. Mails haven't been here, so we've got his birthday present. Now, Jim, we all know
your two
loves are Gillingham FC and the broadcaster Chris Evans, am I right?
Yes.
Because we've got you. Not only a copy of Chris Evans on Vogue. But
Michael, that must have cost you a fortune.
It's authentically signed by Chris Evans.
It's signed in blue biro capitals.
He's got very similar handwriting to me, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We've also got you a mug that I think might have broken when it's on the floor, and it says,
I love
football.
That is good.
Because that's a bit of an ironic joke as a Gillingham fan.
I do like that. Oh, okay. Well, you've tainted it there, but it's in the colours of Ireland as well.
Yeah, well, I know, obviously, your Irish
Celtic
heritage.
Yeah, he's a Celtic.
And your love of smashing up Chiswick.
When I think of Celtic mugs, I think of
the bag and the box
Chris Sutton,
well,
to be honest.
Chris Sutton.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they did quite well for them. But
I think of Jackie McNamara.
Yeah.
That's the colours of Yeovil as well. Bastard.
There we go. Yeah, I love that.
Fantastic. Well, on that lovely note, Jim can go away and drink from his Terry Skiverton mug. And we'll bid you goodbye, hopefully for a week. I mean, I think, in fact, next week we should probably come back and do our pre-season show, seeing as it'll
be
a few days before the Football League season starts.
Sounds good.
So we will definitely be back next week. And until then, you know all the usual score. Goodbye.